The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this edition of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and once again, thanking you for your support and keeping along with the previously held theme of talking to a few of our skiers and trying to get their assessment of what they did on the 2025 season. And to that end, I introduce to you Whitney Reaney. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Tony.
All right, then. So how did the season start? I mean, how was your preseason training and what have?
Yeah, it was a cold, rough winter, early spring in Florida. So it was definitely challenging to be on the water leading up to Moomba Masters this year. But I forced myself out there. That's one of the reasons why I like to go to Moomba, because it keeps me on the water when I usually would really prefer just to stay in bed. So I was able to keep training, and heading over there, I felt, I mean, it's always hard going to Moomba. You never know what you're going to get on the river, but I was able to come out with the win, the 10th win.
Yes, indeed.
That I've had on the Yarra River, so that was a huge blessing, and I always love just the city there, the vibe, the tournament. Everything feels good there. Nantique does a great job of putting on that event.
You kind of feel like a true celebrity, as it were.
Yeah, and then I love to go attend Hillsong Church in the city as well when I'm there. So it always just feels good. I just love that city. God's been so good to me in Melbourne, Australia. And so I decided to kind of make it my retirement from Moomba Masters so that I don't have to make that trip away from my guys every March. And we'll see. I'll probably be back in next year because the Worlds are going to be there in 27.
Yeah, Mawala.
And then we'll probably stay for Moomba as well. But I made the retirement, so I didn't feel like I have to do the trip every year. But right. I'm just super pumped to have that 10th one. That felt good.
Okay, yeah. So were you trying out skis or anything before Moomba?
I think I just rode... Well, maybe I did ride a different ski at Moomba. I did ride a different ski at Moomba compared to what I was riding last year, I believe. I think it was blue. But yeah, I don't really know. I just...
You just ride what they give you.
I ride when my ski starts to feel not so fresh. I just try another one until I get one that I like better. That I'm like, basically, as long as I'm running 39 and getting like starts at 41,
so when you ski
on that ski for a little bit until I find something better.
So when your skiing goes stale, what happens?
When my skiing goes stale, 39 gets really, really hard, and I start missing it quite a bit. Like, when I'm missing it more than I'm making it, I know there's an issue more than just me, because I've been doing it for so long. I've been riding 39 for, like, almost 15 years in practice. So I know when it gets really hard to the point where I can't even... you know, run one out of five, for instance, then I know we have an issue, so we try and switch something up. It could just be a fin adjustment, but usually my ski needs a refresh, and we try something new until something feels better. And then, of course, we're kind of always just trying new stuff to feel better and better all the time.
All right, then. So after you returned from Australia, after Moomba Masters, what was your first tournament stateside, or Northern Hemisphere, as it were?
Swiss Pro, I believe.
Yeah, Swiss Pro Slalom, that would have been in, May?
Beginning of May.
Okay, which is traditionally, the start of the regular season in the Northern Hemisphere, but how did things work out for you on that one?
I didn't ski my best, for sure. I don't think I ran 39 that weekend, and ended up second or third. I can't remember what I ended up. I can't remember. I was either second or third at Swiss Pro this year. Good thing I don't remember.
Okay, so if you didn't do particularly well, you want to try and forget that score, forget that tournament in a hurry, and start working working on your next tournament. Is that pretty fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the memorable ones are the ones where I ski to where, one, either I win. I will usually remember the ones that I win, but a lot of times I'll also remember when it feels really good. Like when I go into a tournament and I run 39 every weekend or every round of the tournament, and I get little starts at 41, I'll remember that tournament if I get first, second, or third, fifth, sixth, whatever it is, you know, because if it feels good and I'm happy with how I ski, I try and keep that in my memory bank. The ones where I am, like last weekend, for instance, would like to forget that one, and I probably will very soon. I've just had some tournaments this year that have been less than ideal, I would say.
Yeah, hot and cold.
Yeah, hot and cold for sure. And there's reasons for everything, you know, and I'm working through it, so... Yeah.
Okay, so after Swiss, it's the Masters qualifiers. Did you do... You didn't do the Masters qualifiers.
I didn't have to qualify this year.
You didn't
year.
Have to qualify.
No, because I won some tournaments last fall. I won California Pro-Am last year, which gave me the entry into Masters for 2025.
How important is that to you to actually register a win or two to negate, to preclude the need from having to go 2 weekends on the trot, you know, to try and qualify for the Masters in a situation which isn't automatic, really?
Yeah. Oh, and I also won Moomba, so that also would have put me in for 2025.
Yeah, that kind of helps.
Honestly, it's a huge bonus. But I also don't mind skiing the tournaments. I mean, when I ski at Jack's and Drew's Lake. Those lakes are amazing. Oh, this year though, they were at the new lake that I haven't skied at.
Yeah, over at World Champions Lake, whatever
right.
That's called.
Yeah, so I haven't actually skied at that lake, and I didn't go to the qualifiers this year. But I think overall, when you don't qualify and you have to go to the qualifiers, it puts you in the right mindset of competition and like kind of gets you prepared for the Masters. I do think that they are a great way of leading into the Masters, making sure that we have the top athletes there.
Okay, so I mean, a lot of people have varying opinions in regards to the Masters qualify. You know, some believe it is a true assessment of the best skiers going in. Some others would rather go back to the old system. What kind of school are you in that regard?
I think that Nautique is making sure that we have the top athletes right going into Masters, and I think it's not a bad thing, because a lot of us, to be honest, we have hot and cold spells with our skiing. So someone who had a hot streak last summer, or this summer we'll say, if someone has a hot streak this fall and wins a tournament or comes close to winning a couple tournaments, and they're running, like, especially for the guys, so they're running like threes and fours in the spring, they might be back at twos and threes, which isn't necessarily going to qualify them for the Masters. So I think the whole goal with the Masters qualifiers is to make sure that whoever's hot, yes, the champions from the year before get their invitations, which mm-hmm. is great. And then the people who are skiing their best and competing their best get to go ski on Robin Lake, and I think it's a great way of getting the cream of the crop, or the rise to the top, or whatever.
indeed. So you got to go to the Masters this year. How did that work out?
Not good.
Unfortunately,
another year. I think it's like three in a row of me just not having a good Masters.
Okay, so I mean, when you look back at some of those, what were some of your main takeaways from those, if you can maybe point to one or two things?
Yeah, I think this year, well, actually 2 years in a row now, I started to get ready too early. So at Masters, there's tricks in the morning, and then we're sitting around watching, and then I start heading down because I start feeling the nerves. So I'm like, I'm just gonna go take my ski down there, sit, chill for a little bit. Well, then sure enough, I bring my ski down, and then I say to myself, or Satan says to me, because I know it's not the truth, it's not what I want to be listening to, I hear this voice in my head, oh, just warm up your ankle, you know. So I just start rolling out my ankle, and I think that I'll just stop there, but I don't. So I end up starting to warm up way too early, and then my mind gets to peak too soon, and then I'm like dancing, just trying to hold on to try and like get myself to stay in competition mode, but it's too long. Like the amount of time that it took me before I skied, because then we have that head-to-head tournament before us too, it was just too long, and I was too high for too long. My first pass actually felt really good, but then when I turned two ball at 35, I was like so like loose that the handle was gone like before I even could think about fighting for it. Ouch. So I was just I was too low. When you have to be high to compete, especially on Robin Lake, you got to be out there to fight. You got to be ready for anything. And unfortunately, it didn't play out for me this year. But we do learn lessons every time we fail. We do learn lessons. And for me, it's a super valuable lesson. And it's just, I consistently, when I ski bad, I can see a trend where I warm up too early because I let my nerves get into the way. Today, I forced myself to start warming up four skiers before me. And instead of the six that I like to do six. And then Anne Marie wasn't even there at the lake. So then that made it, it was going to be three. So then I was like, oh crap, got to get ready, got ready. And then she showed up. So it was really just the perfect amount of time for me today. I felt like I was at peace, at ease. I allowed myself to like flow today. So it was better. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead, but
you're jumping ahead a little bit there, but that's fine.
Because we're here at Grand Prix.
Yeah, we're here at the Travis Grand Prix. We're actually at the Bushnell Motorsports Park, not too far away from there, and we're in a lovely little conference room here, far from the madding crowd. We're just doing a quick podcast of a few minutes before we get back out on the track, you know. But yeah, so I mean, you've gotten through the Masters and. Did you venture into year
Lake 30? Well, I went to Lake 38.
Yeah.
That was the next one that I did. And again, warmed up too early and didn't do well. I fell at one ball at 39 in the finals.
Have you ever tried a distraction like maybe just bouncing a pickleball on a paddle or something like that?
I'm learning that a lot of the guys just sit down and watch. They just watch the skiing until it's time. I don't love watching before I ski either, so I kind of try and keep myself distracted.
The guys can do that though. At least in my experience, you can generally watch and feel like ready to go once your set comes around.
It's discipline. Like for me, it's just you have to be disciplined to not start warming up until like you're ready to go start warming up. And that's just a lesson that I learned this season. It just kept repeating itself to me. And the earlier I warm up, the more variable my outcome was, because it was either I was too excited, like in the finals at Lake 38, I was too excited. I was turning really hard. And like 32, 35, 38, I was like, okay, this could be good that I'm turning so hard. But then at 39, it just caught up to me. So that was like 38. I did not go to Europe this summer because I've been there with Zane before. It doesn't make sense financially to bring my husband and my child. And we decided to just chill, stay home, and try and prepare to have a really good Worlds, which didn't play out the way we wanted to. But we did go to California Pro-Am, and that went well. I ran 39. Behind the new boat. That was the debut of the all-new Ski Nautique, and it was great. I ran 39 a couple times out there, and I ended up second behind Regina.
It's a different beast to ski behind, isn't it? Because it has a narrow wake and a flatter table, isn't
it? The flatness is just, there's nothing that even compares to how good that boat is. It's so good to cross over and swing up on the boat at 39 and 41. It's just way better than anything.
Did it kind of take you a little bit by surprise?
I mean, it was the goal of the design was to make it obviously way nice and flat. Mm-hmm. And, then we also worked on the torque of the prop to make the...
It's a four blade, isn't it?
It's a four blade and it just makes it, it's like really big, in the water and it just makes it...
Just track.
It makes it... lowers the RPMs, so this one's just more steady. So there's more variability in the zero off, so that you can actually choose a different letter instead of being on A2, where a lot of us have been stuck. There's just more movement in the engine for us through the pass. So as you're pulling, it's pulling with you, and as you're trying to turn, it's softer for you out over there.
All right, then. So World Championships, you, your husband, Zane,
we made the trip.
Yeah.
We went to the boot.
Yep, indeed. So you went to Italy, and I'm sure that, I saw Zayn. I mean, he was in his element right there, being in Italy. I mean, he probably returned back stateside speaking a little bit of Italian, you know.
Yes, he was speaking a little bit of Italian, and he had the most beautiful buongiorno and arrivederci. He was very cute with his little Italian, and he just was super excited to be visiting a new country. We do a lot of geography with him because we go a lot of places. So he was able to share with his kindergarten class that he went to Italy, and he got to share in front of the class some of the stuff that he learned and the amazing pesto pasta that we had at the lake, and whatever else that he found was really exciting for him. We did have a really great family trip there. We got to go up to Lake Maggiore, and we had a beautiful time. And then, of course, the tournament didn't go as well as I had planned. Practice went great, and so I was feeling a little more confident going into the tournament. I had a really bad last practice set.
How long did it take for you to prepare before you head out onto the water, like four skiers by that time?
Yeah, I can't even tell you my warm-up. Probably too soon at the world.
too soon.
Too anxious. I was very high-strung the whole week of the Worlds, and probably a couple weeks before the Worlds. I've had a rough go at the Worlds the last two, with having my injury, concussion, 4 years ago, and then 2 years ago, falling on at 35 in the finals was like really heart-wrenching for me, and has been definitely a challenge mentally. So instead of focusing on what I could do at the Worlds, I was really battling with fear of failure and just trying to like hold on to any ounce of like, I can do this, trying to convince myself, where I had already lost my my mental like clarity, I guess. Like I just was not confident going into the Worlds. And the day after the Worlds, my first set back, we changed my fin a little bit to give me a little bit more grip in the water. And skiing has been better since the Worlds. And I honestly think it's because when you have that like extra energy, I needed just a little bit more grip on my fin. Like I slid at two ball in the finals at 38, and that totally shook me because I almost didn't run 38. Like I could have gone down at 38, could have missed the pass.
Yeah.
Was able to get through it, but then I wasn't able to get myself back to
the
intensity that I needed at 39 to stay high enough on the boat to run it. So I was just a little behind the boat, and it got me at three ball, and then I barely got to four ball. So,
all right, then.
Man, those girls skied amazing at the Worlds, though. There were some young ladies who just crushed it, and they deserved to stand where they did, fourth and fifth. I think I was like fifth or sixth. I think it was fifth at the Worlds.
Yeah, so still something you can be proud of.
It's the best finish I've had
outside of the North since, America.
Yeah, since Malaysia, I guess.
Malaysia 2019, as it were.
Yeah, I think I was fourth in Malaysia.
Yeah.
And that was my first time off the podium in 10 years in Malaysia. So this, getting older doesn't get easier, Tony. It does not get easier.
Oh, you don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me. I mean, I'm feeling the oldness and everything's going all against me at this point. You know,
I feel like the best is still yet to come. To be honest, like I wouldn't still be doing this if I didn't feel like there was still a future for me and still goal and purpose for me in this sport. So I am excited to, for what the future brings.
All right, let's hurry on through. Last two
All
events
right, last are two events.
Mastercraft.
MC Pro did not go well, could not get myself comfortable out there. And honestly, I think it was, I've been skiing behind the new Nautique, and there's just, it's so smooth
there's
behind the wake. And
when
I
such hit, a difference.
On my first pass, I was like, whoop, there's definitely a wake behind this boat. So I think I probably just should have changed my training strategy. I should have skied behind a Mastercraft a little bit before that tournament, and I didn't, and it showed.
Okay, so I'm walking on from Mastercraft back to the Nautique, 2026 Nautique.
Yes.
First time we've seen in the pro tournament, yes. East of Mississippi.
Yeah, that's right. And one of my favorite lakes of all time. I've always loved skiing at Jack's. We had a little hiccup here 4 years ago, but I still love this lake. I have my PB on this lake, and Scott is absolutely amazing behind the wheel. Scott Ellis is just doing great at driving. And so I'm pretty pumped for what the rest of the weekend is going
to
bring.
All right, then. Let's quickly go back to Moomba. Because you said that you weren't going to return to Melbourne strictly for the Moomba Masters. But you also mentioned some other stuff that went along with it. I think there was something in regards to maybe expanding the family a little bit.
Yes, when I was at Moomba, that was the goal. And I've said it multiple times this year that we do want to have another baby. And so that is our winter plans.
So we're probably not going to see you at Swiss Pro.
My goal would be to not be skiing next season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so far as the new ski design is concerned, yeah. I mean, your husband is forward with the new ski design. He's the head designer for Radar now.
Yes.
What are the conversations like with him regarding ski feedback and input? Now you're having to communicate him rather than go through Rossi.
He is just the smartest man that I know in this sport. I don't think there's a smarter mind in water skiing. He watches so many skiers. He helped design the new Ski Nautique as well. Spent hours and hours and hours out there, and now he finally got the reins given to him at Radar, so we're very excited. We've just kind of started to scratch the surface because with the current 2025 ski, or is it 2026 that we're skiing on right now?
Yeah, or 2026.
Yeah, so we're riding in 2026. This ski, he didn't have the time to completely redesign. So we basically have the same shape as last year with a couple modifications, just keeping that tip down a little bit more in the front of the ski.
Yeah, I noticed that the tip is pronounced on the previous ski and it's a little flatter this time.
Yeah, so Matt just wanted to have some more contact off the second wake and through the turn. That was the goal with that small modification. But moving forward, he is going to completely redesign it, and his goal is to just keep pushing and pushing and until we have a better product every time. So he's learning. He worked with Herb for years and years, and he worked with Andy, and he's very excited, and he's taking his role very seriously. He's constantly studying and measuring, and he's doing his due diligence to make sure that he's going to create some amazing products, and I'm really excited to see what the future brings.
All right, then. We're going to close up this edition of the TWBC podcast. Thanks a lot for availing yourself of the opportunity for me to talk with you. Any parting thoughts?
Thanks for having me, Tony, and God bless.
Indeed, and that concludes the TWBC podcast for this episode. Thanking Whitney Arini for her participation. Another episode will be coming up shortly, but until then, this is Tony Lightfoot saying ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.